It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. There are nearly 1,000 Native American tribes in the U.S., but about 400 are not recognized by the federal government.
For decades, Native American tribes have petitioned for recognition, which is a lengthy administrative process through the Interior Department.
Currently, it's unclear how federal recognition cases will be handled by the Trump administration and whether tribes will have a pathway.
Here in Wisconsin, one tribe that lacks federal recognition is the Brothertown Indian Nation. Producer Colleen Leahy wanted to see how this issue affects tribal members and brings us this story.
There are 11 federally recognized Native American tribes in Wisconsin, but one tribe, the Brotherton Indian Nation, is not federally recognized.
Iyamkutuwukunuk. That's really an Algonquin word that's 22 letters long, essentially meaning brother town or band of brothers. My name is Phyllis Olivia Tausi, and I am the chairman of the Brothertown Indian Nation, and I have been for the past 3 years. And before that, I was working as chair of the Restoration Committee. The Brothertown Indians have moved six, or depending on how you count it, seven times until we got to Wisconsin.
But even as groups of Brotherton were starting to make a home in what's now Wisconsin, the Indian Removal Act was passed in 1830, which forced all tribes to move west of the Mississippi.
There were pressure on us once again, this time to move to Kansas. No one wished to move to Kansas, for any number of reasons. And our ancestors decided to take another strategy. Our leadership looked around and realized, of course, that no one was asking the non-Indians to move so their land could go to someone else. Nobody was doing that. So there was a belief that owning our land individually, which tribal people were not used to, our people were not used to that, owning the land and being citizens would protect us and would prevent us from being removed to Kansas.
That strategy worked. The Brotherton stayed in Wisconsin. But the decision they made in an 1839 treaty to become citizens and own their land had serious unintended consequences. The Brotherton didn't know this, but when they signed that treaty, the government terminated its trust relationship with the tribe. That means the government no longer had an obligation to protect the tribe's land and resources, and it no longer had to treat the Brotherton as a sovereign nation. That's still the case now, nearly two centuries later.
And, you know, just looking at the historical record, we, as a tribal entity, do not believe that at any point. I mean, there's just nothing that points to the fact that we intended to give up our tribal identity.
The Brotherton aren't alone in this. About 400 tribes across the U.S. don't have federal recognition. Non-federally recognized tribes lack a lot of the rights that recognized tribes have. For example, they don't have the right to enforce their own laws or run their own court systems. During the pandemic, non-recognized tribes missed out on COVID relief funds. I decided to go to the Brotherton's 8th annual spring powwow in Fond du Lac to get a sense of how tribal members feel lack of federal recognition has affected them.
And that's the idea behind community. We're not talking about a certain mailing address or you got to be here, you got to be there. We're talking about we're all related, we're all relatives. And this celebration is especially poignant with the condition that has been pushed upon the Brotherton people over the years in the form of a theft of identity, a theft of heritage. And this is a step in conquering all of that.
We don't have the same rights as other tribes that are federally recognized. I'm Hector Marroquin, and I am one of the council members here at the Brotherton Indian Tribe. I'm actually the youngest council member, and I was appointed about 3 months ago. The Oneida, the Menominee, the Stockbridge, those tribes have more rights because they have that federal recognition. They have a relationship with the government, and so they have resources available that the government allows. So with us not having that, it creates a definite disadvantage for us to be able to work on projects that we want to be able to acquire land more easily, to be able to be more focused on our community. And so with that, we just are wanting to get back to being a sovereign nation that can govern ourselves.
We have a true identity that's been around since the 1700s with very well documented history and lineage. My name is Faith Ottery, MD, PhD. I actually am a council member for the tribe. It's my second time on council. Our identity isn't dependent on a piece of paper from the U.S. government. But there are a number of benefits, for example, protection of our tribal cemeteries that are not covered if we're not federally recognized. So it's not just education and health services and other things that people tend to think of, but it's other things like protecting our lands and our cemeteries and our people who passed beyond before us.
My name is Shelley Decker. I am a Brotherton Indian member. And my father, Dick Welch, used to be the Native American storyteller and elder for the tribe. Unfortunately, he passed away in 2019, and then they no longer had a storyteller. So I'm trying very, very hard to fill in his humongous moccasins. Some people think that because we're Native American, we're trying to build a casino and we just want a lot of money and all of that kind of stuff. That's not what this tribe is about. We are just trying to gain our heritage back. We just want to be able to share our tribe and our customs and everything with people.
My name is Michelle Miller, and tomorrow is my granddaughter's 11th birthday. And we're not usually able to come because we live on the other side of the state. But for her birthday, she wanted to come and show a couple of her friends our heritage. I was about 15 years old when I remember us trying to go towards recognition again. And I'm 60 now. So it's like we've done so much work and so much effort, and then to get disappointed time and time again.
My name is April Mohawk, and I am a Brothertown citizen. I'm here as a vendor today, and I love coming in and gathering with the people who come out. A lot of them are Brotherton. Some are from our other local tribes like Oneida Nation and the Stockbridge Munsee. So without federal recognition, it's really difficult to advance, like educationally, you don't get those benefits. We can't protect our cemeteries. We have cemeteries over here, not too far away, 5 miles away, in the middle of hay fields, and there's nothing protecting them. They're just stones out in the middle of nothing, and we just pray that the farmers, don't plow over them. We don't get funding or support to work on language restoration. Like everything that we do it with our own time and own money, and we have to work real jobs too. So our members don't get paid to keep these things in place. It's all, we do it because this is who we are.
For Wisconsin Today, I'm Colleen Leahy.
And special thanks to Sarah Hopeful for sound design.
Now, our next guest traced the history of her tribal community's ongoing struggle to receive formal federal recognition, and her book that came out last year serves as an essential resource for her tribe.
Olivia Chilcote is an associate professor of American Indian Studies at San Diego State University and the author of Unrecognized in California, Federal Acknowledgement and the San Luis Rey Band of Mission Indians. Olivia, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thank you for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
California, where you're from, has the largest indigenous population of any state, more unrecognized tribes than any state. And your own tribe is in this situation, lacking federal acknowledgement. Can you talk about how that's affected you personally?
Sure. So I grew up just always knowing that my tribe was different than other tribes in our local area, and especially in the fact that we don't have a reservation like many of our sister tribes do in the county. And so that was just something that I was curious about and wondered, you know, what made my community different than others in our same area. And part of that as well is my mom was on our tribal council. So those tribal council meetings would often happen in my own dining room. So I grew up hearing about the various issues that my tribe was confronting. And one of the main issues was our lack of federal recognition and the work that people in my tribe were putting into pursuing that status. And so it really shaped my understanding of my own Native identity and my own personal experience.
So many tribes lost recognition in the 1950s and 60s because of this federal policy called termination. What was the federal termination policy and how did it affect tribes?
So termination policy was all about severing the relationship between tribes and the federal government. So it was a time period in which this concept of recognition was being actively worked against on the part of the federal government. So the tribes that were subject to termination, in many cases illegally, so their government-to-government relationship with the federal government was severed and came to an end. And that had a lot of repercussions for tribes at the time. And then those that are still terminated to this day continue to contend with that status. And I think most actively are pursuing to have their federal recognition restored because of the rights and resources that are attached to having a federally recognized tribal status.
Some tribes also lost recognition in the 19th century, like the Brotherton tribe here in Wisconsin. Some tribes never gained recognition in the first place, as you've pointed out. How do you make sense of this type of history?
I make sense of it in understanding that in a lot of ways it's by design because of the fact that the United States is a settler colonial nation, then that affects how tribes have a relationship with the federal government or not. So to me, I kind of see these various ways that tribes either had their recognition taken away or never had that official relationship with the federal government as part of colonization and the kind of colonization that continues to this very day.
And you've written about how in California, 81 tribes have sought federal acknowledgement, but only one has succeeded. The Brotherton here in Wisconsin fought for 30 years for federal recognition, only to be told that they were in the wrong process and should have been petitioning for restoration. What can you tell us about the federal acknowledgement process? Is it confusing? Is it adequate? What is it like?
So the federal acknowledgement process is a very controversial process. It has come under a lot of scrutiny. It has been highly criticized by academics, by attorneys, by tribal peoples. The process tries to have a cookie cutter model fit all kinds of tribes that have their own unique histories and their own circumstances that have developed over time. So it's really difficult to be able to, you know, fit into this model that may not be compatible with the historical realities of all different tribal experiences across the country. So one of the aspects of that process is that the tribe pursuing it cannot have been a terminated tribe. And in the past, it's only been since 2015 when the regulations were changed that the burden was put on the federal government to determine if the tribe had been terminated or not. Whereas prior to 2015, tribes were making the case that they were or were not terminated, so having to make that argument, which it seems like for the case of the Brotherton Indian Nation, that burden was being put on them to prove that to the detriment of their pursuit of recognition through the process.
Circling back to your tribe now, and what it's gone through for generations, you know, as you look at the history of the San Luis Rey Band of Mission Indians, what does the tribal community feel today for, you know, working toward federal acknowledgement and what the situation is like, especially now under a Trump administration?
Yes, that's a great question. So our community is really dedicated to pursuing federal acknowledgement, and it's an initiative that people in our tribe have been working on for decades, even prior to what we think of contemporarily as the federal acknowledgement process. It's something that we have been in pursuit of, because we did have a treaty with the United States that we were signatory on. So when that treaty was not ratified in 1852, it sort of set the stage for this ongoing pursuit of having that government-to-government relationship that was denied to us when that treaty was never approved, when it wasn't ratified. So it's something that has been a very inherited struggle, and I think that that's a similar case in a lot of unrecognized tribal communities, that this is something that's been going on for a very, very long time, and it's an inherited injustice, as some have put it, that has been passed down. And so now our contemporary community is put in the position to once again try to pursue this government-to-government relationship. And it is something that we are actively working towards.
As we end here, what happens next for your tribe? And what are you working on in your scholarship?
Yeah, so for my tribe, I think we are really recommitting towards our pursuit of recognition. The publication of my book just about almost a year ago now has really reinvigorated our community towards that goal. So we are working together to pursue recognition through the federal acknowledgement process and just kind of coming together around that goal.
Olivia, thank you so much for sharing your research. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much again for having me.
That is Olivia Chilcote, an associate professor of American Indian Studies at San Diego State University and a member of the San Luis Rey Band of Mission Indians. Her book documents her tribe's struggle to become a recognized federal tribe.